Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownCadre.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Breeders and Rootworkers, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjurman Ali. Miss Cat?
Hi. Nice to be here.
Hi.
Nice to hear your smiling voice, Miss Tammy Lee. How are things
you,
out
ma'am.
There in lovely Florida?
They're going just great. We are kicking into the fall season and certainly looking forward to Halloween right around the corner. And we actually have a change of seasons here. You all know I like the weather a little bit, but we do get a change of seasons here with the leaves. So I'm just looking at things around me, and I know that there's palm trees in Miami Beach, but we, of course, have our lovely oaks and some other beautiful trees that are up here in the Panhandle. So just really enjoying that and looking forward to some things that I have going on personally and setting up yet another grand altar. So just really
another
looking forward to
altar.
That. Yes. A very special one.
Well, I'd love to
very
see
special
you.
One.
I'd love to see
I'm going to take a Polaroid, and I'm just teasing you. But I'll get that out on Facebook for real. That was a joke, y'all. And
yeah.
Those of you who know me know why. But yeah, that's for sure. For sure. Okay.
Yeah. All righty. Well, we love to hear what kind of work you're doing out there at Triple Crown Conjure. Don't hide your lighter under a bushel. Be sure to let us know.
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. Well, how are you doing, Conjurman Ali, my faithful cohort?
I am doing lovely. I have been quite busy. I know I always enjoy the fall season. It's one of my favorite seasons, and I've been doing lots and lots of work, a bit of travel work, you know, having to go to clients' homes and do hands-on work at the home. A lot of business clients that want me to go out to their businesses. So it's been a very fruitful harvest season, if you will.
That's good. That's really good. Well, I know that you specialize in what I call major type works for people, those life readings you do and hands-on work and stuff like that. And you are quite in demand for that kind of stuff. I really dig the fact that you're carrying on that tradition, because there's a lot of people who just, you know, confine themselves to, I'm just going to sit in the corner and be, you know, some root worker, but you actually go out there and do things for people, and I love that. Really love it.
Well, it's my favorite type of work, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm out here up at Lucky Mojo. We've got a little bit of change of seasons here, not too much, just a little bit. We did the Mystic Fair. We had a booth at the Mystic Fair in Santa Rosa. Yeah, Sister Robin Peterson ran that. Coastside Conjure, our good friend, took photos. A lot of them are posted at the Lucky Mojo Facebook page. If you go there, you'll see pictures of Brother Lou Flores. He gave the candle workshop, and there's a picture of him hugging Heidi. There's a picture of Miss Elvira. Just as they were setting up, and Apollo Dark was there, and sold some products, and everybody had a good time. We did very well. So that was a nice event. And thank you, Coastside Conjure, for the pictures. She did a great job. As always, she documents our lives for us. So big, big thank you to Coastside Conjure. And let's see. What else is new around here? My gosh. Well, we're making progress on the railroad, but I promise I wouldn't talk about that. So there you go. But for those who, for those with ears to hear, the caboose was delivered today. Okay. So, people
well,
still
well, actually, I love hearing about it.
Well, you know, I look back on this all. I have to say I look back on this all, and people like me for different reasons. And this calls upon a different set of friends, I guess. But there will be a Lucky Mojo, giant Lucky Mojo factory on the railroad where they make the tiny little Lucky Mojo bottles and they'll put them on freight cars. You'll see. It's all going to happen. Anyway, but that's my only news for this week is I got a caboose. I've been doing a lot of readings. I want to give a shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to my friend and a longtime client, Miss Tiffany. And I just want to say thank you, Tiffany, for all your support. And I'm here to support you, too. And there's nothing like a long-term client who's somebody I've been working with for months and months and months, years and years and years in the case of Tiffany. And I just wanted to give her a little shout-out here, everyone. Nobody will know who I'm talking about except for Tiff. Hi, Tiff. Thanks for everything. All righty. Now, we have as our guest this time the redoubtable, splendid, solid, and reliable Dr. E. So, welcome, Dr. E. We love to
welcome.
Have you as a guest.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on. I always love being on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And yeah, it's good to hear both of you.
Yeah. So, as if we don't get enough of each other, what with the tech team meetings and all the other stuff we do, Dr. E and Conjuring Ali and Nagashiva and I get together every Tuesday to update the AIR website. So we're in each other's lives a lot. So, mm-hmm. Dr. E, what's going on at your place? Tell us what's new, 25 words or less.
I can't guarantee it's 25 words, but I've been very busy here. I am gearing up for a trip to Kansas City next weekend where I will be giving readings in person, both the Logoon readings, which is the Santa Maria Cowrie Shell Oracle, and Bone readings and Tarot reading on Saturday in Kansas City, Missouri at the Good Luck Shop. And I'm also going to be teaching a class on Sunday, a week from today, about Santeria Lucumi. It's a nice general introduction course for people who are interested in learning about the religion. It's a five-hour course with some breaks in between, and it's also going to be held at the Good Luck Shop, which is indeed the shop you're describing, Mr. Michael, and there it is, the one that Professor Ames, Ungan Matt, and Mambo Julie all opened up together. So that's the big event that I've got going on, and then shortly on the tails of that, I've got the anniversary of my initiation in Santeria Lucumi. It'll be 12 years for me on November 4th. So I've got to gear up for that. It's like a big birthday party.
That's intense.
Thank you. So, I've been
really,
doing that.
That's really great. You got quite a full plate there.
Mm-hmm. I do travel and everything. Yep.
Okay, so one more time. What is the date that you're going to be at the Good Luck Shop in Kansas City?
Well, I am going to be there from October 26th through October 27th. That's Saturday and Sunday, 2013, of course. And if people are interested in having a reading with me, they should call the shop, call the Good Luck Shop, and make an appointment because those time slots for readings are going to go fast. Readings are on Saturday. And then my class is on Sunday. And it's also first come, first serve on the class, so make sure you call and get a seat reserved. We're also doing a live streaming for people who can't make it to the shop who are interested in attending the class so they can contact the shop about that.
Wow, that's really great. That's really great. Yeah. I just realized I also have one more thing to announce. Tuesday, October 29th, 2013, is the annual Lucky Mojo Halloween Potluck Party. So that's at 1:30 in the afternoon. You can wear a costume if you want to. You don't have to. You can bring a dish of food if you want to. You don't have to. We always have extra food, and we probably even have a few little extra costume parts if you want. It's open to the public, but it's a potluck and Halloween party for all of our staff. We have a lot of people here on staff, but anybody who's in the area, just come on by, say hi, Tuesday, 1:30, we're just going to be hanging out and having fun for an hour or so, okay? All righty. Now, we are going to go to our next segment of our show, and that is the segment that involves the panel discussion. But before we do that, I want to say one thing. We, for some reason, don't know why, whether it's, you know, eclipses, retrogrades, you name it, we only had, going into this show, one sign-up for a reading. Now, usually we have three, and our sign-up has not called in. So this is this has never happened before. This is unusual, okay? There are 51 people right now in the chat room. If you all want to get, because we're going to have to skip over, if we're going to do readings, you know, raise your hand, or else you're going to hear us talk all the show long, okay? So, Shiva already says, three callers have raised their hands. Okay. All right. So we may have that under control. They're going to be dealing with that through the private messaging system. All right. I just want to make sure that we got some calls here that we can take, and that'll be good. Okay. And Tammy Lee and Nagashiva, Lucky Mojo, Curio Company, Board Op, they will handle that. All right. So let's go to our panel discussion. Now, what we've got right now is a very interesting topic that Dr. E brought us. As usual, our topics are brought to us by our guests. And the topic is, as I understand it, ridding the home of spiritual entities. This could be ghosts associated with the house. It could be entities brought in by other people, entities of those who died in the home, entities of those who were sent to the home with the intention of harming or haunting, right? It kind of covers everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. This is a great topic, and so be prepared now, guys. Start taking notes, and we're going to let Dr. E kick us off. Tell us about it.
All right. Well, one of the first things that you have to find out is what exactly is going on in your house. I mean, if you suspect that there's a haunting, you need to identify what it is, why it's happening, and what's going on. And that's where a reading by a qualified root worker is going to be really useful. You can't just go around starting to, you know, whack the walls of your house with bundles of herbs and smoking things out, and who knows, you could be getting rid of one of your own ancestors. So it's important to find out what's going on. I frequently find with my clients that when they think there's a haunting going on or something like that in the house, it's typically one of two things. Either one, the house's previous residents were incredibly violent or angry, and a lot of that residual energy is in the house. Like, let's say the house was rented out to a divorcing couple or abusive parents or something like that, or maybe there were some nefarious activities taking place in the house before that those people moved in. That energy remains like a residue in the house that needs to be cleaned out. I don't consider that so much a haunting as sort of just the memory imprints are in the walls, and work needs to be done to cleanse the house for that. The other option that I see with most people when they encounter some type of a spiritual disturbance in their house is that it's actually one of their own blood relatives that has passed away that's trying to get their attention, either because it's somebody that needs spiritual assistance in order to evolve and release itself from this physical plane and move on with its evolution, or because it's trying to help but doesn't really have the ability, the energy, the spiritual evolution to do so. And I do a lot of cases where I have to assist clients in giving those ancestral spirits evolution, prayers, offerings, and things to empower them and elevate them so they can become helper spirits that protect the home and keep it peaceful instead of, you know, turning lights on and off and rattling doors and not really making any kind of difference in the home. Those are the two most common things that I run into when it comes to entities in the house. Now, after that is where I start to look into, okay, is this just a spirit of the dead that's clinging to this house that doesn't belong here anymore. And that's when I need to find out, why are they there? Why are they not leaving? What are their, if you can get their name, that's awesome, because then you have even more power over them. But typically I find, at least where I live here in Los Angeles, that a lot of times the hauntings that are going on in houses are people that lived in that house for a very long time and feel a sense of ownership over that house. And even though they've died, they're not leaving. If they can't take the house with them, they're not leaving the house. And you see this a lot with people that, you know, that either built the house, or I've experienced that here in the Hollywood Hills with young starlets that when they hit it big, they actually bought this house, and this was like a big symbol of their achievement, but then their fame quickly faded. And so the house is like the one thing that represents their pinnacle in life, and they don't want to let it go. And that's where you have to do a lot of almost counseling work, counseling spirits of the dead, to help them to release and let go. It's very rare that I get an actual nefarious ghost or spirit that is there to damage, to harm, to cause problems. That's quite rare. And when that comes about, that's where I need to bring out the aggressive tactics, where you have to physically cleanse the home with bundles of fresh herbs, herbs that are good at scaring spirits away, things like lemongrass, basil works really effectively for that, so does fresh hyssop, pine needles, fresh pine needles work great for that as well. And I just make a bundle of those herbs, and I run around and beat the walls of the house with it as I pray furiously the Our Father and Psalm 37. And I run around the house beating it out of the walls, from the back of the house to the front of the house, much like when you do a floor wash, you know, floor wash on the house, same kind of process, top to bottom, back to front, and work it all the way out the front door of the house. I then take that bundle of herbs, I take it out to the curb on the street, and I break it, throw it into the gutter, and stomp on it. So that literally, it's like you're breaking the energy off and releasing it to the street. And then, with very firm intention, and occasionally with a knife in my hand, I will yell at that spirit and tell it to get the hell out of that house, to move on, to tell it it's dead, the house is no longer yours, and go rest in the earth. And I'll take that knife and I'll plunge it into the earth. So I'm literally telling that spirit, go to rest. You're done. You don't belong here anymore. And then I follow up the house with a regular course of cleansing, with like floor washes, smoking the house, and then putting protections on the doors and windows with a little firewall of protection oil, or crosses that have been blessed with firewall of protection oil, to really seal the house away from that spirit returning. And that's a pretty strong course of action. But I actually find the first examples are more common, where you have spirits that are trying to help but just don't know how. So that's what I find I run into a lot. What about you guys?
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you one that I know, one of the older things I was taught a long time ago. And this is an approach that has to do, if you are living in a family home. Now, this isn't if you just, you know, bought a new house or something like that. People living in a family home, and someone died out of that home. Could be a child, could be a mother, could be a grandmother. And the people in the home are being haunted. Now, you might say, well, that entity hasn't left the home. Usually the ghost is perceived as coming back to haunt from the graveyard. You know, the body got carried to the graveyard, but now the children are waking up crying because they keep on dreaming about Mama. Mama's gone, right?
Right.
And you don't want to, in a situation like that, do the kind of thing that you were just describing. You don't want to drive Mama out of the house because the children still need Mama's spirit around. So what you do instead is exactly the opposite. And this is a more old-fashioned, Africanized, Americanized way of working. You go to the graveyard, and you get some of the graveyard dirt from the grave, and you say to the, let's say it was the mother who died, and you say, well, you know, sister so-and-so or mother so-and-so, you know, I know you, it's hard for you to be away from the children. Let me just take a little of this graveyard dirt, and we'll bring you home. Mm-hmm. And you leave a little coins, you know, you pay for the dirt just like you normally would, and you bring that. And then you can sprinkle from the graveyard at every cross step that you, you know, crossroad that you walk, or just if you just have enough, just take a little bit of it and get it across the front door and the back door, and you might do it under the children's windows on the ground or on the windowsill. And you say, now, Mother, you can visit your children every time you want to, but you got to behave and be nice and don't frighten them. Okay? Stop crying. Stop crying.
Right.
You're home now. Okay? And if you have any leftover dirt, if you've done that, you can also put a little bit, you know, a little box container as a, you know, on a little altar. But you don't have to. You just put it down at the doorway. And you can renew that every time you go to visit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say you take flowers once a week and you take the children there to see Mother's grave and you just take a little handful and you show the children, now we're going to take a little bit of Mama's graveyard dirt. We're going to bring it home with us. And that will keep them from being haunted by an unresting spirit because she will know she still has a place in the home.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Now, how about you, Ollie?
This topic is one of my favorite topics because this is work that I do very frequently. I have worked professionally as an exorcist for many, many years, and in fact, in the Middle East, I'm actually known as a jinn exorcist, and it's my speciality, dealing with spirits. Also, Virginian conjure. A lot of people ask about the differences in conjure. Well, Virginian conjure has a little bit different approach towards ancestors and spirits of the dead. They are a little bit more concerned with the dangers that go with the dead. And so there are more techniques about removing spirits and exorcising the place, or what's known as ghost laying, than there is, for example, the technique that you mentioned, inviting the spirit kind of into the home. So this work is very close to me. And it, like Dr. E, I do divide up the spirits, but I divide them up a little bit differently. There are three types of spirits that I have come across. One are restless spirits. Restless spirits are those spirits that either don't know that they're quite dead, they are not at peace, or they have been attracted, as Dr. E mentioned, because there was something going on in the house. Spirits are drawn to intense emotions. So those cases where there is something violent going on, there are those cases where there is something nefarious going on, there is a spirit that often will get attracted to it. In those cases, there are minor hauntings, often some poltergeist activity, disturbances of sleep, nothing too major, but the spirit is restless. The second category of spirits for me are malevolent spirits. Those spirits that are sent with either sent or come forth with a deliberate intent to harm. You know, demonologists often call these demons, whatever you want to call them, but these spirits are intending harm. They may be sent by a professional to damage a person's home, or they may be the result of a dangerous spirit in that. And the third is, as Dr. E mentioned, friendly spirits, or spirits that may be ancestors trying to get your attention. And how you approach them is differently. Malevolent spirits, I would do what Dr. E did, which is cleanse out the house thoroughly. For me, I work heavily with camphor. Camphor kind of has this amazing stripping quality. It strips the house of anything, and it really forces out its spirit and seals up the home. I often work with camphor, sometimes even sulfur. And people go, sulfur? And I'm like, oh, yeah, sulfur has an amazing, harsh cleansing quality. And you close up all the windows, and you fill the entire house. Well, you're out of it, by the way, because you don't want to get sick. Fill it up with either camphor or sulfur, and then you open up your doors and kind of let the fumes or the smoke out. And it forces the spirit right out of your house. For restless spirits, I actually have a very different approach, and I do what's called ghost laying. And this comes really out of Virginian conjure. And it's tied to our old general practices of funeral practices. A lot of people forget that the idea of a funeral is a spiritual act. It's not just a ceremony for the living. It's a magical ceremony for the dead, helping them transition into their new home. And a lot of ancient funerary practices were about assisting the spirit. So what we do in Virginian conjure are a lot of mock funerals, or we go and we find out the name of that restless spirit, right, by calling on that spirit, working with the spirit board in other ways, and then going to that person's grave and laying the spirit to rest, calling their spirit into the grave, pouring cold water over the tombs, over the actual headstone is a very common practice. We pour water over it as we recite prayers, we light candles. And what this does is it puts the spirit into its new home. It says, we understand that you're not quite sure what's going on. We understand that you're restless, but this is your new home. Have fresh water, have candles, and be at rest. And you hold a prayer for them. Get a group of people together, the people who live in the home, led by the group doctor, who also acts often as a preacher or a minister in a church. And they do a mock funeral or another funeral for the spirit, helping bring that spirit back into its home. So that's how I approach spirit work. If it's a restless spirit, I bring it back to the cemetery because it's lost its home. And in my experience, the most common spirit is a restless spirit. We live in a day and age where the dead are forgotten. We live in a day and age where we also move the dead very far away from us. This idea of the dead are unclean, they have to be put in their own little cities. Whereas there's a lot of ancient ancestral practices where the dead live amongst you. Ancestors were buried where they died, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a weird disconnect with spirits, and there are a lot of unmarked spirits, you know, who have unmarked graves, or people whose graves have been, you know, grown over and new people have been buried. So there's a bunch of things going on. Displacements of graveyards, displacements of cemeteries. So I find in my experience that the most common are restless spirits. And those are the ones that we deal with by remembering them, telling them that they are recalled, that we know who they are, that they are dead, and that it's time for them to be at peace by giving them light and giving them water.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know, there's an interesting thing here because we're talking about cross-cultural influences from, you know, from different people. And the Native American approach that, you know, which is to keep the dead usually considered to be far away, even in some tribes, not so much those tribes that contributed to hoodoo, but for instance, the Navajo are pretty extreme in that they won't even live in a house where someone died, and it's considered impolite to die in a house. You go outside to die if you can. Because otherwise the house has to be knocked, a hole knocked in it. So there are different levels of removal from the dead, and then there are different levels of invitation of the dead. I, for instance, get many clients who are African American. These are not Latino, and they are not, you know, Germano-British or Irish American. African American clients who say, well, my grandmother passed, and I haven't been able to dream of her. What's wrong? And in that culture, contact is expected. If you don't get contact, you know, is grandfather mad at me? Is grandmother lonely? Why won't she come to me in a dream?
And the
also,
most common contact is dream and scent for a lot of African Americans. Oh, I smell my grandfather's tobacco, or I smell my grandmother's cookie. Those are the two most common I've always heard from African American clients is dreaming and scent.
Right. Now, if you go to some of these online memorial sites, you know, where an obituary is posted, then you can, for free, you know, you can post little miss you grandpa type posts. You've seen those kind of sites, I'm sure. If you're interested in culture, you might want to see if you can check out the sociocultural background of the people and what kind of posts they make. For instance, again, among white people, they usually will post a birthday greeting to a dead relative. Happy birthday, Uncle Tim. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
African-American people will post both a birthday greeting and a death day greeting.
Yeah.
And the death day is commemorated more in hoodoo and among African-American people generally than it is among white people.
And it's common to have on the death day a meal in honor of that person, having the family get together and have a family meal, almost like a Thanksgiving-like feast, is very common in African-American, especially in the South, practices. You know, remembering the person who passed away, often with funny anecdotes and stories about that person while enjoying a big meal with the family.
Right. And and there also are certain phrases, turns of speech that are used to describe this, you know, that are, we might call them euphemistic. They don't use the word, you know, died or whatever. But, you know, going home day is you know, going to Jesus day. Those are phrases that I've heard often, and you'll see them online. They are persisting. In other words, not, you know, the mass white culture has not eaten up or destroyed African-American culture. So those of you who are interested in hoodoo, who come from other cultures, be aware that you can't just walk in with your preconceptions and remake African-American culture into your own. Now, one of the things that Ali said was so fascinating to me, he mentioned Virginia. Virginia, we, you know, again, people who study this know that hoodoo has varied all around the country based on where those slaves came from and who they married with, who they were owned by, and what was going on around them. In Virginia, there is a lot more British influence, and Virginia had slaves a longer time. It was an older colony than some of the others. And so the kind of idea of laying of ghosts is a British sort of idea. And
it is.
So you'll see that kind of an influence there. You will also find among people from Georgia who have a lot of Native American, there might be a little bit more of the spooky haint thing. I don't want those haints around me because that has to comes out of it.
Breaking pottery on a person's grave or passing a baby over the grave, it's all about, you know, making sure that a haint or a haunt does not come back. So there, you see that Native American influence of keep the spirits away from the home a little bit in Georgia, and we find that even among the Lula people, that practice is quite common.
Right.
Yep.
So, yeah, so there is not just a one way. Now, Dr. E., what you described with with the herbs, that comes out of a Cuban tradition, correct?
That's correct. That is what I like to do, and it does have some basis in Espiritismo Cruzado, or crossed spiritism, which is a hybridized spiritism we have in Cuba, Puerto Rico, and many Latin countries. And, we use fresh herbs because of their living quality, along with their ability to have, you know, aromas and things like that that work effectively to hit spirits and make them go. You know, I put a bit of a hoodoo twist on it by, you know, praying psalms and things like that as well. But it's very, very effective. And one of the things I'm going to share at the very end when I give my free spell is actually a technique we use in Espiritismo Cruzado in order to help those friendly spirits that need evolution so that they cannot be disruptive but can instead be a great assistance and protection. I'm going to share that at the end of the show.
Great. We're coming to the end of the panel discussion, but I do want to put in a couple of thank yous. Matters of the Heart 4 said, we say sunrise for birth and sunset for home going, and Indigo said also called homecoming, which is true. You'll see that in the old newspapers now. Again, newspapers are a thing of the past, but like you know, old papers would have, they would say sunrise, and it would be the birth date of the person. Sunset would be given as their death date. And that was very common in old newspapers. I don't believe it's died out yet. But again, it's something that white people coming to hoodoo are not aware of, that idea that that the honoring of the death day is very important. And sometimes called home going, sometimes called homecoming, depending on what, you know, what any one person will say.
Kat,
so thank you very much, both of you,
there?
for that comment. Yeah.
Kat, let me add one thing. Please, for God's sake, don't call it crossing over. It's crossing over. That's a white New Age term. Please don't use that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well. That, you know, it's so funny. When I was young, I learned a lot of different euphemisms, my family was kind of like, oh, we just call it dead, you know. I learned something very young growing up, that the white people said passed away and the black people said passed. And passed on, says Nagashiva in the chat room, passed on, but he comes from mixed family. So there you go. Passed away, passed on. Yeah. Miss Michael said she first saw sunrise, sunset on and in online memorials within the past 5 years. Well, I'm not here to tell you, Miss Michael, that you could read that in the Kansas City Call in 1927. I mean, it's always been there. That's real old, true black culture and a way of dealing with it. And this is so important when people try to enter into a culture, to understand what that culture's thoughts and beliefs are. And of course, nobody wants an ugly ghost around their home, but that doesn't mean that they don't want the spirit of the grandmother close by.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Miss Michael says what she's meaning to say, it hasn't died out by any means because it is found online. That's right. And Black Cat says, I've heard a lot of old people say, went home. That's another one. Went home. The usual long form of that is went home to be with the Lord or went home to be with Jesus. Okay,
right.
And I've even said on this radio show, I once gave a curse, and as I learned it, This was a curse that I was taught, and I know it's going to make some people laugh. I'll mention it. I'm not going to give the whole curse, but the phrasing of it was, Lord, if you can't make him better, Lord, please take him home.
Mm-hmm.
So this was to get somebody out of our lives. So, yeah. All right. Let's go to Ms. Tammy Lee, and we're going to see what we can do. I hope that Tammy Lee and Nagashiva have got it all set up for who's going to be our calls today. Take it away, Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Work Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Conjamin Ali. And this week's special guest, Dr. E, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire on the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by the area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. And our first client is calling in from area code 740 from Indiana. This is Brown Eyes. Brown Eyes, are you there, caller?
Yes, I'm here.
Great.
Hi.
Welcome. This is hi, and welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let the host know, to the best of my knowledge, I'm looking on your the Lucky Mojo Forum site, and that this is your first time calling in. I just want to verify if that is true and correct. Is that a yes? First time,
yes,
caller?
That's true. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and read the brief synopsis of your case for our host, and she writes, my husband and I have been apart for a year now. He is living with another woman and seems to be attached to this woman and her two children. At first, my husband would not speak to me at all. Now we do talk some on Facebook. He tells me that he loves me and misses me, but he is with someone else. He says that he doesn't know if he's coming back. It's a possibility. She says, ugh, and I want to break them up, and have him home being the husband that he should be. I love him very much, and I want the same from him. I did move to the neighboring state, but I would go back to our city if he would just ask me and if that would be the right thing to do. Turning it back over to you.
All right. I'm going to ask you just a couple of questions that I need a little clarification. You've been apart for 1 year. How long were you married?
We were married for 4 years.
4 years. And did you have any children with him?
No, we don't have any children together.
And you have children of your own?
I do have children of my own, yes.
Okay, all right. Now, I guess the next question I'm going to ask you is, what is your sign of the zodiac?
I'm a Capricorn.
Capricorn, faithful and loyal. And what is your husband's sign of the zodiac?
Now, he's March 3rd, but I'm thinking it's either Pisces or Aquarius. I get them mixed up because my sons are right there, too.
He's a Pisces, I believe, March 3rd.
Yes, ma'am.
I may be wrong. I think I'm right. Okay.
You are.
Yeah. So he's a little bit more flexible than you are, to put it mildly. Okay. All right. I'm going to read some cards on this situation, and I'm going to say that my heart goes out to you. I was in a similar situation. I just have to, you know, for the purposes of full disclosure, when I had a husband who broke up with me, and for 2.5 years, there was always this, well, I'm with someone else, but I may come back. And, you know, it went on and on and on. And I managed to have other boyfriends a little bit during that time, but I kept on hoping. Eventually, I kind of had to move away from it because it never did materialize. I'm not trying to bring that past my life to your situation, but I'm sensing it, you know what I mean? I'm feeling a little of that, just the vibe is in the air. All right, so I'm going to put down three cards. The first card I have is called the Four of Cups. And boy, that reaffirms what I just said. This is a man who's kind of raggedy looking. He's not dressed real well. He's sitting with his legs folded and his arms folded, and he's sitting with his back up against a tree. And in front of him are three beautiful cups, golden goblets. And to one side of him is a little cloud comes out of the sky, and out of the cloud comes a hand, and the hand is holding a golden cup, and he's got his arms folded across his chest, and he's shaking his head, no, I don't want that beautiful little golden cup. We call this the card of refusal, and it also contains the question, why would a man refuse a miracle? But he's already refused three of them. He's got those three little cups there. I always think that that little hand keeps on offering and offering the beautiful heart, because cups is hearts. If it was a poker deck, it would be the Four of Hearts. And he shakes his head. Now, why? He's got his hands crossed across him like he's protecting himself, but he also means he's crossed up. All his legs are crossed, too. So that other lady has him somewhat crossed up. He himself is in a somewhat of a cross condition, somewhat raggedy in spirit, poor in spirit, and not doing as well as he should. But he can't quite see his way clear. Even the offer that you would make, he can't quite grasp it. The next card, however, says, do not give up yet. If you're going, you might have to give up, but don't give up quite yet. It's called the Four of Coins. And this shows a little king who's lost his castle and he's lost his throne and he's outside of a city, like you move to another state, is what this reminds me of. And this little king has four coins, big ones. They're like big discs, golden discs. 1 foot on one foot on another, another one wrapped up in his arms, and on his head is a fourth one. Again, we have three that are sort of similar and a fourth one that's different. And we call this the little king who lost everything, and we called it hold on to what you've got. This says to me, you should not give up yet. It may come down to this, baby. I would make four offers. He may refuse the first three. If he refuses the fourth offer, you know it's done, okay? But don't, in other words, don't keep yourself waiting endlessly. The answer is still in play. He really is as confused as he says. Now, the next card is more like about what we were talking about breaking up the other couple. Next card is called the Five of Swords. Well, that shows a battle. And there is a fight, and it's called the hard-won fight. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to lose. I look at this. If I was to do this fight, I would try to break them up. But it doesn't say you're necessarily going to get him back, because it shows a person winning the fight, but two people walk away separate from each other. In other words, you may break them up, but that he may not still come back to you. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try it. I would try it. But it's not a foregone conclusion that you're going to win this one. That is my reading on it, and let's see what Dr. E has to say.
All right. Thanks for calling in. I got to tell you, I'm really sad also to hear about your situation, and I can really feel your frustration. I'm a fellow Capricorn as well, and we like to have our rules and our orders and deadlines and timing, and you better tell me when you're going to be home, and I'm trying to plan my life around this. You know, so I feel you. I know what it's like. And I've pulled a couple cards myself. I echo much of Kat's sentiment. The first card that I have here is the Eight of Cups card. Now, in my deck, the Eight of Cups card shows a man walking away from two stacks of cups. There's eight cups total, but there's a stack of three and a stack of five. It's like he couldn't get them to balance out properly. And he's turned his back on these cups, and he's walking off into a cold, snowy night toward the moon in the sky through a rocky chasm. He doesn't know where he's headed, but he is fed up, and he's walking away. For me, this card typically talks about somebody that is dissatisfied with a situation or an environment because it doesn't, it's not perfect. It doesn't match up the way he wants it to. He can't get things to be balanced. And this card for me harkens to the reasons as to why your husband left and also as to how you feel right now. You know, he gave up. He walked away because he couldn't make things the way he wanted them to be. And so he decided to go look elsewhere, walking off into the cold dark, leaving you alone and unbalanced. The next card I have is the Six of Pentacles card, which in my deck shows a wealthy man holding scales in one hand and a handful of coins in the other hand. There are two people on their knees in front of him with their hands held up, like begging for alms. And he's carefully measuring coins and handing them out to them. He's not being generous. He's being very selective and only giving each person a tiny little bit. This card for me talks about people's lack of generosity and being miserly and measuring how much attention or money or resources they give to the other person. Now, let me ask you a question, because this card seems to indicate that in some respect you are financially dependent on him. Now, is this the case where you are depending on money from him to survive?
No.
You're not? Good. Perfect.
No.
Then this card is talking about the love and attention that he's not giving out then, where it's being given out in measured quantities, okay? And that's why he's taking whatever resources he has for himself and whoever this woman he's with. He's not giving you the generous love and support that you should be getting. And the obstacle card I have here is the Lovers card. When the Lovers is crossed in a reading, for me this tells me that the obstacle is the love. Okay, there is a certain amount of disenchantment that happened between you and he went and sought it elsewhere. And what I see here is that he is in love with this other woman. Now, Kat believes that he's been crossed up and magically afflicted to be made to love her. If that's the case, then that's something that Conjure Manali is going to have to keep in mind in having to break the two of them apart, because there is now an emotional attachment to this other woman, and that's part of why he won't let her go and come back home. Now, the third card I have here is the King of Pentacles card. This is a card that shows a wealthy king seated on a throne made of gold that's decorated with bowls. The wealthy king is dressed in ceremonial garb, indicating that his position is not only one assigned from wealth, but also that's been inherited. And he's holding a large golden coin in his hand. This card talks to me about somebody that is very fixed in their disposition, much like those bulls on that throne, very Taurian in nature, very fixed. I am not going to move. I'm not going to budge. I'm going to stay put on my chair because I control the situation and I'm not going anywhere. So this card tells me that you're going to have a hard time getting him back. Okay, this is a guy who is very unwilling to listen to what you got to say. This is somebody that has his own agenda here, and that's something that Ali's going to have to keep in mind when he recommends root work to you. Is the situation salvageable? I pulled another card and I got the Knight of Wands card, which for me does talk about motion and action and things starting to move in the right direction. So I think you can dislodge him from that situation, break him away from that woman, and get him moving in the right direction. Whether that will be ultimately successful or not, I can't tell you, but I can tell you that you may want to actually take an approach at souring the sex life between the two of them, because that kid, that Knight of Wands, always talks about there's a bit of a passionate, erotic, wand, phallic kind of, you know, energy going on there. There's sex that's part of this. And if you can ruin that for him over there, he has less reason to stay there, okay? So I'm going to hand it over to Conjure Manali and see what he can synthesize as a solution for you here, considering the information that Kat and I have given you. Okay? Good luck.
You know, one of the things you're going to have to bear in mind from everything that's been seen here is you can try to draw this man back, but that may not necessarily make him happy.
Right.
And it seems like his own unhappiness is the big problem, and that's not something you can change, okay? You can remind him of his vows, you can remind him of his obligation, you can remind him of his love for you, you can break them up, but him being happy, that's all on him. That seems like his own problem. Especially the Four of Pentacles, it's a guy who's kind of crossed himself because of his own choices. He chooses to cling to a certain type of mindset. So here's what I would recommend. Here's some breakup work. We don't talk about breakup work on the show very often, so I'm going to describe what you're going to do in this situation to break them up. What I want you to do is I want you to get two fresh red peppers, okay? And you can buy these at the grocery stores. They're really easy to find. And you're going to slit them. You're going to slit each one of them, and you're going to take a photo of them together. If you have Facebook and you're talking to them, you should easily find this. And you're going to tear the photo in half. You're going to write his name on the back of his, hers on the back of hers, and cross it with the words, break up. Roll his photo up and put it in one of the peppers. Roll hers up and put it in another of the peppers. Okay? So now you have two little containers in these peppers with them with their names. And you're going to say, as these peppers are hot and fiery, you two are going to fight in better. Then you're going to take a pan, and you're going to put these peppers on the pan, and you're going to turn the heat up, okay? And you're going to roast those peppers a little bit so that you can heat them up. And you want to do this if you know they're together at the time. Like, he's coming home from work right now. He should be at this woman's house. So you're going to light this up so they fight and bicker. As the heat builds and builds and builds, you're going to be calling out with a righteous heart that as the fire builds, so too does the pressure build. They're getting angry, that they're getting heated, that every little thing they say is causing them to fight and bicker, tear apart this relationship. After you've done this, I recommend doing this for about 3 days. 3 days, heating this thing up. Okay, heating it up and then turning off. You don't want to burn the peppers completely. Just heat it up so it starts to roast. You can smell the heat rising from it. You can smell the peppers, and you're going to call for them to break up. After that, you're going to take those two peppers and you're going to put them in a jar with lemon juice. Now, I recommend lemon versus vinegar because lemon has a good cutting and clearing kind of quality, and you want to kind of clear away those emotional bonds between them. Put in lemon in there, pins and needles. Then you're going to take some breakup incense, and you're going to light the incense in their names, pray over that, and as take a little bit of the heated incense, like the little fire coal, right, the fire cherry, and you're going to dump it right into the, just use a spoon, dump it right into the jar, and then close it. So what you're doing is you're capturing the smoke and the heat of the incense. And you'll see the smoke will continue to build for a little bit there. And you're going to shake that thing up regularly, calling for them to break up. This is a great way of speeding up breakups. You heat it up real fast, and then you dump it into a vinegar jar or a sour jar to keep the work going. Really, really, really good work. You're going to keep working that to break them up, okay? That's regular work that you're going to do until they break up. Don't stop that work until they're done or until you're done. It's like, I'm giving up, I'm done with it. You shake that thing up every time they're together. You shake that thing up every time the moon is waning. You shake that thing up every Tuesday and Saturday. And you call for their break. To get this man to come back to you, you're going to have to do a lot of different things. A bit more than we can describe on the show. But what I will recommend real quickly is, one, do the reverse. You're going to do a sweet jar on him, so a honey jar. Okay? That's to sweeten him up towards you, to kind of get him to draw him back to you. He right now is making sure that you're plan B. The backup plan is there. His whole, I don't know if I'm ever coming back, he just doesn't want to burn that bridge completely. That's a cop-out answer.
Right, right.
If I've ever heard one, right? So what you're going to do is you're going to put some pressure on his ass to come through on that, you know, idea. Get some return to me incense, some compelling incense. And you're going to mix it together, and you're going to take his photo, and you're going to write his name 3 times on the back, cross it with your name 3 times, and write in a circle, return to me, come to me, love me, okay? And you're going to put the incense on top of the photo, and you're going to light the incense so that the incense burns the photo. And you're going to keep lighting it because it's not going to burn the photo completely until the entire thing turns to ash, okay? Use that ash to dust some type of object that you can send him. Either be like, hey, I got you a birthday card, or whatever it is, send him something dusted with that ash. Use half the ash or a little bit of the ash on the object that you're going to send to him, and you put the rest of it under your bed so that he is drawn back into your bed. That's to get him in contact. While you're doing this, work your honey jar, lighting those candles, praying over and drawing him back to you. This is going to take a lot of work because you're trying to kind of get him to move out of his own emotional cross state, what he's put himself into. So it's going to take some time, and it's going to take a lot of effort and pressure. But if you do this, you've got a good working foundation going, okay?
Okay. Yeah. Boy, that's really, really good stuff.
That was powerful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's really, really good stuff. And he's got you covered on several different levels here, and I agree, you're going to need to work on several different levels. Just make sure that you don't try to work it more than 4 times. 4 times is your limit, okay?
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
All righty. Good luck to you, honey. Let's have Ms. Tammy Lee bring in our next caller.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. Y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client, and our next client is calling in from 817 from the great state of Texas. And this is Scott. Scott, are you there, caller?
Yeah, this is Scotty. Hi, how are you?
Great, Scotty. I was on the fence about Scotty or Scott, and so thank you so much. So we've got Scotty, awesome, green eyes. All right, and here
yes.
we go. I'm going to go ahead and thank you so much for joining us this evening. I'm going to go ahead and let our hosts know, who are all members of Aries, you know, that you actually have had a recent reading and root
yes.
work consultation with Miss Michael.
Yes, I love her. She's super.
She's lovely. Yes, wonderful and good friend of mine. And I'm going to go ahead and read the brief situation and synopsis for our host. And Scotty writes, my situation is regarding my husband of 13 years, walked out in January of 2012. I've been doing my own work recently and had a reading from a root worker that confirmed I'm doing good work and did not see a divorce, but a long separation. As my suggested work recently helped in the return to me and reconciliation. And I'm going to assume that's work. Turning it back over to you.
Yes.
All righty. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions, then we'll give this to Ali for reading. How long were you married before the breakup?
13 years.
13 years, and been apart now for a year, going on 2 years.
Going on two, I know.
Okay. And are you having regular contact at all?
Yes, we are. Actually, I think with some of the work that Ms. Michael suggested and what I have been doing, we have been having regular family dinners now for the past 9 weeks, at least once a week, when there has been no contact. Now there's more and more contact. So I guess
good.
I basically just want to know, is the work that I'm doing, has it helped in getting, you know,
well,
the
yeah.
return, you know, the return
yeah.
and reconciliation.
Yeah.
So I'm working
well, good,
a honey jar.
Good.
I'm doing lots of things. I've even kind of laid my own tricks on his door handles, and I gave him a rosary on Friday that I had nicely oiled up for him. So
good. All right. All right. Well, let's let Ollie see what he sees about this then.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'm doing is I'm looking into my ring. Speaking of spirits earlier today, it contains a spirit helper in there, a spirit of divination that assists me with scrying. And I'm gazing into this ring to see, you know, how things are going. And I can confirm, I see this family dinner. I see it's looking great. I see that he's happy. But I see a man with two faces. I see a man, one is in light and one is in shadow. And looking
right.
closer, I'm staring into that shadow. This is a guy who may possibly have hot and cold moments. This is a guy who may even possibly have some bipolar qualities that you might want to look into.
Right.
Or something like those hot and cold. I look into the dark a little bit because I want to see why there, you know, what is in that shadow that he's hiding. And I see
yeah.
a woman. So be careful
mm-hmm.
that rivals are going to be appearing if they have not already. That there may be another woman on the scene right now or very shortly. And I do see that this can cause some trouble because it will make him move forward. I see a document which indicates that divorce is still in the picture. While you've made great progress, and I'm very happy to hear that, the idea of another woman presenting themselves will kind of push him a little bit further down that road. However, I also see two rings that are joined together. I see that you can be successful in drawing this man back, and Ms. Michael has guided you very strongly. You're going to have to work a lot with, if you have his ring or if he has his ring, you need to be working with your marriage ring. You need to be working with any type of symbol of commitment that you have to kind of draw him back to you. So you're on the right path. The only addition that I would add to this is you're not addressing any rivals right now. Address them right away. Freeze your work, whatever type of work you need to do, time to remove, you know, any type of rivals and start putting up some boundaries. This is my man. No other woman is allowed to. So this is
right.
this is a man with serious emotional kind of complications. He is a bit bipolar. He is a bit two-faced. And in that shadow, what he's hiding a little bit is that there is a desire for another woman, a desire to be free. And so be aware that there is a rival on the picture very soon, okay?
Okay. Yeah, you know, with when most, what are the reasons why most men just walk out just out of the blue? Well, you know, I mean, it's one of three reasons, but, you know, it definitely was adultery. And not because I asked him to leave or anything like that. He's no longer with that girl.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go and move into his own place or anything. He went to go live with his mother, of all things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 42
sure.
years old and living with your
well,
mom.
Well, let's see.
Let's
see here. What I'm gonna, you know, you got some you got some good reading there from Ali, and I'm going to put down three cards just real quick myself.
Okay.
First card I have is the Moon, and that's kind of interesting because you mentioned him going to stay with his mother. This is the Moon is a sterile card. It's a card of sterile hope, hopes that's not realized. It's a dog and a wolf howling at the moon and a little crayfish waving its little paws at the moon. This says to me that the reason for the breakup was something unrealistic. He really couldn't get what he wanted, and and he is now, you know, retreated back to mom, a mother, the moon, and so yeah, it is another woman, but it's a sterile relationship in that sense, and he has some problems here with faithfulness and all that. I mean, this is a difficult card for a marriage. The next card is the Empress. This is a great card for you for feeding him.
Mm-hmm.
If you are the Empress, you will take the place of his mom. In other words, if you the family dinners, you provide the food, you are the generous one, you are the giving one, you are a cook, you are
yes.
wearing
the
starry crown. Yeah. So play up all of that loving side, that Venus side. That does raise the matter of sex. Madame Nadia just stuck up her paw there and said sexual issues. This card, the Empress, says to me that he can be lured back with sexuality. Did the two of you have some sort of a sexual issue between you before he left? I mean,
actually, believe it or not, the sex had intensified by about 500% before he left, which was kind of a blow as to just, you know, packing a bag on a Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock and said, I need time to think and go to your mom's house, go to your mommy's house, I mean, at 40
well,
years
gotta,
old.
You got to think of the Empress. That card that Ms. Kat pulled is an amazing card for your situation. Look at the card closely and embody those qualities. That woman is sexy and motherly. That woman draws in desire. She's Venus, but she also is comfort.
Yeah.
And that's where you want that balance, so that he goes, I'm home, but I also have all this passion. That's what you want, okay?
Yeah.
And
right.
a shift away from the moon.
Yeah, it's definitely a shift away from the moon. That's for sure. People in the chat room are joking that he might have unusual sexual desires. I don't know what's usual or what's unusual.
That is spot on, because I know that, let's face it, it's no big secret. I mean, with the rise of technology as far as internet, it becomes a fantasy and illusion for some, I'm not going to just say men in general.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it could be women too. But for men, they have this fantasy or this illusion that that's the way it's supposed to be, the way it is on porn and that sort of thing. Well, I'm sorry. I'm a woman, and I'm never going to be 18 years old again and look like that again. I've had two children. So, you know, even though I'm, you know, still, you know, fit and and everyone says you're hot at being almost 45 years old, you know, you look like you're 30. So I give very good care of myself, and you know, and
we get that. But see, here's the
age
thing: it has to do with. I mean, I know what you're saying, that there are a lot of men who have been I don't know, they have what I call the video game version of sexuality.
Yes, and video games too. He would stay up until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning on
mm-hmm.
this.
Yeah, these are problems with your man, not so much problems
yeah.
with your marriage. So
right.
Let me give you the third card that I have, because we're running a little late here now. We can't
keep
talking about this. The third card is a good card, a very good card. It's the card of the lovers. So that is a card that says you can get back together. The work you are doing is good. But the man has some issues here. And in the card of the lovers, there's an angel watching over Adam and Eve. She has apples behind her and a little snake. She's got a little sexiness thing going on, and she also has security. The man has a tree of flames of fire, and he does want to indulge a kind of a lust, but there also is there's a situation with the man that he's not quite in control of himself, and he, you know, blames the woman, right? What did Adam do? It's all
right.
his fault, right?
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah, I would say that you have you're doing good work. What I'm seeing here is you're doing good work. Keep it up, but you need to start grounding this in reality, and let's turn it over to Dr. E. We got very little time here to get some root work advice.
All right.
Well, it's nice to talk to you, and I agree with what my colleagues have said here. I'm going to preface everything I say by saying that you need to confirm what I'm saying and validate it with your root worker, Ms. Michael, before doing it. Okay?
Okay.
She has a real good grip on what's going on. She's clearly doing a good job for you already. So I'm just going to throw a few things in there that she may have already suggested or might be nice to add into the mix. I think Kat's suggestion of feeding him is going to be excellent. You have him coming over every week in order to have a meal. You had better be feeding him some of your sexual essence, okay? If you are having your period, you can collect some of your menstrual blood. You can cook it into food that easily hides it, like pasta sauce or anything that's got a dark-colored sauce, and serve up a special batch just for him to eat. You obviously don't want to be eating your own stuff. You can make a separate batch just for him. And when you cook it, just a little bit in there will do, and pray over it, call his name, and say, when you eat this food, my essence will be taken into you. You will be intoxicated with me. I will satisfy every one of your senses in every way you can imagine and more, and you desire to come back here. Eat with me every day. Spend time with me and make your way back to my bed, back to my heart, back to my life, and preserve our marriage once and for all. Okay? Pray from the heart.
Okay.
Pray something like that. It doesn't have to be those exact words. Okay? So I'd recommend you do that as frequently as possible. In addition, what Ali said about using your wedding ring, I think is a really good idea. There's a little trick I do where you take your wedding ring and you thread it either onto a gold chain or a red string to make like a little pendulum out of it. And what you
do. I already do that.
Perfect. And you take a picture. You can take like a wedding picture of the two of you together or a photograph when you were very happy together. And what you do is you swing the ring toward you and you call his name. And let's say his name is John Doe. John Doe, return to me. John Doe, come back to me. By the power of the oath we made before God, I command you to come back to me, to be with me through thick and thin, through richness and poverty. You said in your oaths, repeat it back and say, I command you by the word and name of God to come back to me, because I am your righteous wife. Enough playing around. Enough thinking you can live with your mom. It's time for you to come home and live with me. Okay, so you can swing your ring toward him. It's like, think of it like you're casting your fishing lure out into the ocean and reeling him back in. Okay, same kind of thing. You're reeling him home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you do it like that. You can even lay it on the photo and drag it across the photo toward you. Okay, so you're, again, that imagery of fishing and pulling him toward you. Okay, and then you put that ring right back on. I recommend you do that. If you're working your honey jar, do it every time you're working your honey jar. You can even do it over the honey jar and make sure that ring passes through the flame of the candle without bonking the candle, obviously, but pass it through the ring. So you're saying, I capture the flame of passion. Remember how good it feels to be with me. Remember the flame that's in your heart. I fan it and make it into a wildfire of desire for you to come back to me. So you're using that imagery of fire that's in that lover's card, that tree that's aflame behind the man. Use that fire against him. Fight fire with fire. In this case, it's the fire that's within you and your rightful place as his wife. So there's some simple little things you can do, okay? And again, confirm all of this with Ms. Michael so that it doesn't interfere with any of her work, okay?
Absolutely.
I'm going to throw in one other one with the wedding ring. If you have a wedding ring and put it on a chain, Dr. E is too nice a boy to say this, but you want to drag that through your pussy too, okay?
I'm not too nice a guy to say that. It didn't occur to me to do that. I mean, you could also say this ring is the very least that I have on your dick. Now get that dick back home where it belongs. You know,
right.
You could
right,
do that too,
right.
You know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I've done per Ms. Michael, I've done a moving with and
good.
I'm just. Yeah, my main question is that have you guys confirmed
working well. It's all working well.
Okay,
we've
got
to move on
to
our next caller. Yeah, you're doing good. Just keep it up.
There's definitely a part of him that wants
I'm
to return.
I'm
going to
be, and I will tell you this, I am going to be a part of your class very soon.
Oh, well,
okay.
Great. All righty. Well, I look forward to that. Okay, hon. All right, let's move on to Ms. Tammy Lee and get our third caller in.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat, and y'all, we've got about 19 minutes remaining in the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Work Hour, and the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Work Hour is the first of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast in iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. If your call is chosen, you will get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali of conjurmanali.com, and this week's special guest, Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now we're going to go ahead and go to our forum to Liberty, who has signed up to be on the air. Liberty, are you there? Caller from 206. Are you there?
Yes. Yes, I am. Thank you.
Great. Well,
hello.
Thank you so much, and welcome to the show. I'm going to go ahead and let the host know, I believe that this is your first time calling in to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, and I'm going to go ahead and just read what you wrote in your most recent post. My name is Liberty, and I'm a first-time caller into the radio show, but I'm a longtime customer of the Lucky Mojo and the Missionary the MISC, the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, located, of course, at the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. I've worked with Conjurman Ali in the past on an issue with my boyfriend. Briefly, my boyfriend was tied to another two women, and Conjurman Ali removed the ability of those people to hurt me. I would like an updated reading on the situation as it is now with my boyfriend and me, and any advice is wonderfully welcome. Turning it back over to you.
Liberty, are you the Liberty that I'm thinking of?
Yes,
I
am.
The Liberty that we just spoke? Okay, all right.
Yes. Hello, how are you?
Hello, I'm doing lovely.
Good, good. Good to hear your voice and finally speak with you in person.
All right. Well, do you guys want to switch it up since Ali knows you and have him go first and then Dr. E, or do you want to throw
Dr. E in? I'm fine to have Dr. E read on it. I can give a little bit of background if Dr. E likes about the situation. Since
sure.
Everything.
Well, you know what? No,
let me do
a blind reading on it first. So I think that'll be more effective.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and read with Bones. I've selected a few out of my collection here because I've got too many to throw at once. So let me just go ahead and take these and juggle them in my hand while I pray to your spirits and my spirits to my spirits of divination in order to get us clarity on your situation. Let me go ahead and throw these. Okay. All right. Interesting. So what I'm looking at here is I've got a little doll's foot that seems to be kicking a little devil's head off of the mat. So this says to me that you have succeeded in kicking the devilish interference of these other people out of the picture, which is good to see. It's also interesting to note that the devil in my set of bones has his horns broken off. Just over the years of using them, they've broken off. So to me, this also is a second meaning telling you that you have nothing to worry about this interference because it ain't got no horns. Okay? So you're fine there. I also have a cowrie shell, which represents you as the woman in the situation, connected to a doll's hand that is reaching to a heart. So this tells me that you're trying to reach to his heart to gain his love, to get what you want from him. You're right now the only person going after his heart, which is good. The rest of the arrangement we have here is a key covered with a python rib, and we have a coyote's claw that seems to be snagging at a weasel's jaw that's all lined up with a raccoon penis bone. What does this mean? This tells me that you're not done working him. There's more work to be done. The key to the solution right now is restrained. It's being strangled by the python rib, telling me that there is still more work for you to be done because you haven't gained the key yet. You haven't turned the lock to his heart and gotten him back. The coyote claw linked with the weasel jaw pointing at the raccoon penis bone tells me, be careful what he's telling you, because he may be telling you what you want to hear, but you're not really getting the truth of the situation. He's giving you a line, okay? He's telling you a line as opposed to telling you the truth. And a lot of this has to do that with his desires and intentions in the sexual realm with this raccoon penis bone here. It's telling me he is interested in playing. He's a player. He wants to go out there, and he wants to go have fun. So while I think there may have been two women that tied him up in the past, I think there's something within him they were able to latch onto, and that's that he wants to go play around. Okay? So
yes.
Just keep this in mind. Okay? Keep this in mind as you do your work on him. Now, I know we're short on time, so I'm going to go ahead and kick it over to my colleagues.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Dr. E is right on, and this is something
that we
talked about over and over again. And you know, I don't want to put you on a spot in any way, shape, or form, but, sweetie, you've gotten reading after reading. I mean, we've dealt with the situation. Your enemies are gone. We've tied them up. We've bound them. I've pulled out Conjure Man all these days and kicked their ass, but now there's more work to be done, and you keep hesitating on that kind of aspect of the work, which is cleansing him, and that's the issue, and that's what Dr. E was getting at. There's something within him that they were able to latch on, and that's still there, and he still, you know, while you've succeeded over your enemies, he's still not quite yours. He comes
right,
and goes.
Exactly.
And you know, it's been months and months, and you're kind of vacillating a little bit on. And I understand. I know what your situation is, and I don't want to tell everyone what your situation is. So I get why you do it. But getting reading after reading after reading, you're just confirming what we've already talked about. So what's needed here is actual work. And this is what I get in my geomantic reading. We have the judge as populace. Populace is this figure of popularity. You keep looking for kind of confirmation almost. Where is it going? Where is it going? Where is it going? But populace is one of the most passive figures in all of geomancy. And it's a figure of saying that you know where it's headed, but you don't do anything about it, right? You're at the mercy of, you know, the situation, so to speak, at the mercy of the circumstances. So while you're doing some work, you're lighting candles and you're doing things like that, what's actually needed hasn't, and you know the answer,
right,
and you keep getting confirmation, so now's the time to kind of step forward and really address the situation and really kind of bring this back to home. And good news for you, though, is when I look at the seventh house, I have conjunctio. Conjunctio is conjunction. It is a joining of two forces. I do see this relationship as being successful once it addresses the other aspects. For example, it looks like there needs to be separation going on here. There needs to be cleansing going on here. There needs to be kind of tying up of loose ends before you move forward. But the overall outcome is you two finally enjoying the relationship that you deserve to enjoy. It's just a matter of tying up those loose ends. Don't ignore them and don't keep asking, are there two loose ends? Because there are. You know, asking about it and not dealing with them are two separate things. But good news is that you are on the right track, okay?
Okay. Well, the reason why I had mainly called in is because, I know you know the parameters of the situation, but I had done some work to help draw out some of the finances because that's where I'm blocked as far as taking care of the work, and that is the only reason. And so the reason why I called in today was just to kind of get a little bit of an update on where things are at right now.
The situation looks good. Don't worry. When I look into the second house, we have acquisitio, which is finances. Probably by the end, I would say mid to end November, your finances are going to be right where you need them to be. Okay.
Okay.
I've got just a couple of minutes here to throw in something, and I'm going to say that there are two ways that this can go. One is to do the work yourself, but you seem to be a little stalled out, And the other is to hire somebody, but you're talking about your finances. So there is a, in most situations, it's not always that there's just two choices. In this one, there is a third way. And and the third way is to hire a root worker to do consultation work with you to guide you through doing the work. It costs much, much less than hiring a root worker. It costs very little more than just getting the products or herbs. In other words, what you need is magical coaching and some clarity
right
here. And I would, if I were you, I don't know, you've been working with Khandra Manali in the past, maybe you could hire him for a small coaching thing and then some check-in readings on a regular basis. I do this with people all the time who themselves, they're just like there's that little, they just can't quite do it themselves. It's like they need someone to come in the morning with a cup of coffee and say, here's your coffee, get up out of bed, right? They don't want to have to go down into a big restaurant and pay, you know, $10 for coffee and croissants. They just want a cup of coffee brought to them in bed. That's coaching. But they can't have enough energy to get up and do it themselves. So what I'm seeing here is that if you go for coaching, it will not cost you that much. It will give you that kind of guidance that you need because this situation is still fluid, still flexible. And I know that if Ollie's been working with you already or has read for you before and he's saying you're going from reader to reader, what you just need is to settle on. You've talked to a bunch of readers, settle on someone who will give you coaching. Settle on someone who will either
and
do coaching.
You can absolutely do this. I mean, I know your situation and I know, you know, that you're quite capable of doing this work and you've done really good work in the past with lighting a candle. I don't want you to feel in any way, shape, or form, you know, insecure about your work because you've done some great work. You know, your candle work that you've done in the past, the different types of things, prayers that you've done, they've all been quite successful and they have turned your situation around. So get dead on with that. Absolutely.
Right.
You're very capable.
I want to give you a couple more things here, too. Rather than get phone coaching, because it's ephemeral, you might want to get coaching via Skype, where you can be actually face-to-face with someone and they will type in things for you, or via email. But, you know, or email and phone together at the same time. In other words, I think rather than give you a spell per se, because you've been given knowledge, you just need someone to walk a few miles with you until you can get off on your own, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
All
so
right.
Much.
Good luck to you. It's good luck to you. And,
good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you
all right
so much. You all are so wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Now we're gonna go to our free spell with Dr. E right after Miss Tammy Lee has her say. Go for it, Miss Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour is hosted each week by Khandra Manali and Miss Catherine Ironwood. And now we're gonna go ahead and turn it over to our friend Dr. E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California. And Dr. E, turning it over to you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, the free spell I'm going to give today is actually rooted in Espiritismo Cruzado, like I said. It is a cross-hybridized spiritism. It's got some African elements in it. And this is done when you have a family spirit that is causing troubles in your house. They're not evil. They need training. And they need to have some spiritual evolution so that they have power and ability to help you and be a guide or a protector or a fortunate spirit as opposed to somebody that's just kind of knocking things around in the house. So in order to do this, you want to have like a wine glass full of water that you're going to dedicate to that ancestor. You also want to have a picture of the person if you can get it. If you can't get the picture, you can just use their name written on a piece of paper. And you also want to have a white candle. You want to place the candle in a candle holder. And the final thing you're going to want to have is a ladder, the folding kind of ladder that you would use and prop open in order to reach something on a high shelf. You want to get one of the tall ones that's about 6 feet tall. They typically have six steps, which includes the top. And the reason you want that is you are going to do this over 7 days. So if you include the ground along with those six steps, you end up with 7 steps total. And what you do is you start by placing the candle, the photo, and the glass of water on the floor at the foot of the ladder. You pray prayers for that spirit, calling your name, and praying in their name to give them spiritual evolution and things, blessings from God in order to elevate their spirit. If they were Catholic, you can pray Our Father and Hail Mary. If they were Protestant, you can pray the Psalms or pray a single-fashioned church song, or you can pray in any manner that spirit would have liked. Each day, you light the candle, you pray. When you're done praying, you raise up the glass, the photo, and the candle to the next step on the ladder. Okay? And then the next day you come back and you pray again. And when you're done praying, you raise it up to the next step. On the seventh day, all of that stuff will be on the very top of the ladder, and you'll be praying for them, having fully ascended and evolved their spirit. If your candle runs out in the process, you can replace the candle, because you want to keep a light going the entire time. The light is for spiritual enlightenment and evolution. The glass of water is to cool and refresh their spirit. And in doing this, you are helping their spirit ascend to evolve and to be closer to God. So it's an old Espiritismo Cruzado spell that you could do to help your spirits in evolve. And it can be done with people who have recently passed away as well. Okay? So that's my little spell.
I got one question everyone's going to ask.
Yes.
What day do you start on?
I say start on a Sunday. It really doesn't matter, but considering that church day is Sunday, start on a Sunday, and by the end of the week, you will have ascended that glass all the way to the top, and then if you want to put a cherry on top, if you're Catholic, you can dedicate the Mass on the next Sunday in honor of that person's spirit by going to the church and paying for them to pray it in their honor. So there you go. There's a simple little working you can do, and that will give that spirit the assistance it needs so that it will stop being troublesome for you.
That is really, really a beautiful spell, and I love some of these ways of working that are so old-fashioned. Now people are going to ask, what if I can't get a 6-foot ladder with 6 steps on my thing? Can we talk about just a couple of things that could be done? A bookcase with 6 shelves and a top?
Bookcases. Boxes where you start on the ground and you put it in the seat of a chair and then on a table. As long as it's ascending 7 elevations over the course of the week, you're fine.
Okay. All right. You know how people are so literal-minded.
I know. People get wrapped up in the details and forget the spirit of it.
I know. All right. So we're looking for 7 elevations.
Yes, and you want that top elevation to be way up over your head. So a stack of books ain't going to cut it. You want this to be like it ends up on the top of a bookcase, way up there close to God.
All right. Thank you, Dr. E. Let's have...
What a wonderful working.
Yeah, let's have Ms. Tammy Lee close us out.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And thank you, Ms. Kat. And thank you, Conjure Man Ali. And thank you, Dr. E. of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Deacon Millett of FourAltars.com in the hot desert of California. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Ms. Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Ms. Kimmy Lee, joining you from TripleCronConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Good night. Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee. Thank you, Dr. E, so much. That was a fantastic, fantastic work you just taught us.
Oh, thank you for having me on. It's always a pleasure. It's always a blessing.
Yeah.
Always glad to have you, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, Ali. And, boy, this has been a very interesting show. It's one for the ages. It's one for the archives. I'm going to stick around in the chat room a little bit. Some of us will. We usually just stay a little bit. If any of you all know anyone who does railroad weathering, if you never heard of railroad weathering, you don't even know what I'm talking about. But I'm looking for someone who offers railroad weathering services. Just send them to me at Facebook, Catherine Ironwood. Thank you. Now, we'll be back again next week with Deacon Millett, our delightful friend from down in the high desert. All right, well, I have nothing more to add except for that... as usual, this has been just wonderful, and I'm so glad for everybody. We had 71 in chat today. That was a good, nice number. All right. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.